This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
But thanks again to Jesse Agler.
Yeah, thanks.
Final program director of the season.
Thanks. Junior PD, Jesse Agler.
Tintinabulation. The sound of bells or chimes.
That's Wood's nightmare right there.
That's my nightmare.
Oh, man. Going to wake up at 2 in the morning.
Dude, every...
It's supposed to be a pleasant, soothing sort of sound. That's why people have wind chimes, I think.
They make me nuts. Nuts.
Why would this... Why would this cause you irritation? What?
I hate excess noise, as you know. So if I'm laying in my bed and the wind's blowing and my neighbor has some wind chimes, I'm going to lose my mind. Yeah, somebody said, sounds like walking to a local 99-cent store.
You can make your own wind chimes? Like, it's a good craft to do with your kids?
Now, that would be something, but I do not like that sound, man. I never really have. It's the sound, for me, of descending into madness.
The tintinabulation of descending into madness, yeah. For Woods.
That's exactly right, man. Do you like them? Are they relaxing to you, or do you just tune it out?
I certainly don't dislike them the way you seem to dislike them. I don't think I'd want to constantly have to live with it all the time. But it's good to know, hey, it's getting windy out there. Without having to be outside. Oh.
I mean, I guess you live in Kansas. Maybe it'll help you out a little bit.
What do you think is going to happen? Guys, the chimes are going. Let's batten down the hatches. It's getting windy. Get the plywood and the hammers out. Here comes the wind. That's not what they're for. That's not to tip you off.
James says, sounds like I'm at grandma's house.
Grandma's are huge, huge fans of wind chimes. Oh, man. Yeah, no excess noise. Not for me.
So, I don't want to be the buzzkill. I like to be the buzzkill.
Well, jump right into our nightmare, Ben. The water's warm today.
We've seen situations where teams that clinch and then have a big celebration kind of have a hangover day the next day.
Sure.
And they don't play their best. Padres can't really afford that. If they're trying to win a division title, they win tonight, they got to come back and play another hugely important game. Like, I mean, if you want to win the division, these are like playoff games. How much do you want them to celebrate tonight if they clinch a playoff spot with a win? I know you're a big, hey, celebrate it. You worked hard to get there. But how do you celebrate without impacting potentially your fitness for the next day's game?
I will be honest with you. That does throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into the whole scenario, because you clinch a playoff spot. That's a big deal. We saw the Phillies. Now, they won the division last night. They went real hard. Fade the Phillies today, even though those games for them mean something. But, I mean, they went – it's Philly. It's what they do. They may do that after every win, as far as we know.
But they have, like Jesse said, they may not even want the number one seed.
That's exactly right.
You know, Milwaukee celebrated hard. They lost their next three. But then again, they don't really have much of a chance at anything other than the third seed.
Correct.
The Padres have something very important to play for. And it requires them winning all three of these games, likely. So if they win this one, I don't know. I mean, I spray the champagne, but don't drink it.
I think they got the division on their mind. I mean, I think they're going to celebrate, but I don't think they're, you know, if I'm thinking we're not going to go full kill here.
Full bore.
You know, we're in the end game. You know, we have the end game in sight. Getting to the playoffs is great, but I think they really think they have a really good shot of winning the division.
My guess is if they win tonight and clinch, my guess is they celebrate. My guess, just my initial gut reaction tells me.
I mean, making the playoffs is what you start off the season
for. Sure, that's kind of the first the first hump and getting over it. I think they do celebrate. I think you do see Toddy with his shirt off and pouring Budweiser all over his head. I think you do see it. Do I think it's right? I'm not going to be mad at them if they do. But I do think, I mean, again, we've talked many, many times, Paulie, about what a hard-ass move it would be for Higashioka to catch the final strike, walk out, shake hands, they dap each other up, and they walk into the clubhouse, mm-hmm. and they come out and handle business. Is it? Do they deserve to celebrate? Hell yes, they do.
Of course they do.
But if they decided not to, I would go, ooh.
Like, we all agree. It's a silly conversation.
As a fan?
When you have the division still in sight, that tells me, like, hey, man, job's not done.
Yeah.
If the Dodgers are up 10 games, they've already clinched a division, and you're just getting the playoff spot in, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's just a hard-ass move.
As a fan, you know, if I see that, you know, end of the game, they win, dap it up,
Shake hands, say, well done.
This is it, thanks, you know. We got five more. The job's not done yet, you know. Instead, that would, as a fan, just fire me up
knowing these guys are laser focused.
I think I'm definitely in the spray, don't drink camp tonight. Yeah. You can spray all the alcohol you want, just don't imbibe a ton of it.
It's also a 7:10 start tomorrow, so you got time to
sleep. You got some time to recover. Yeah. That's true. All right. So we've got the game coming up at 7:10, 6:10 pregame show. Right now, Randall Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Randall Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Randall Report with Paul Randall.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Randall Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right.
All right. Well, this is going to be a mess tomorrow.
Right. I'm a mess already, dude. I'm a mess already.
All right, gentlemen. I got to admit, there's so much reporting going on in college sports these days with conference realignment that it has completely soured on me. I don't care anymore. Wake me up when it's over.
Yeah, let me know.
Because one day this is being reported, the next day, it's actually not happening.
Yeah.
So the latest
it's convoluted.
In conference realignment is that Utah State has reportedly accepted their invitation to join the rebuilding Pac now 7, I think, right?
Correct. What's the Pac 7 teams? It was 6, now it's 7, but you need 8 to actually be a football conference. They're one short.
So I saw rumors that Gonzaga was interested in possibly joining as a basketball program.
Actually, someone reported they were joining, and then everyone said, hold your horses, that's not official.
Like, I just,
but
I,
that doesn't get you to 8 in football, because they don't have
football.
They're just a basketball team.
We talked to Ben last night on the live stream, and I said, well, what did you do today? And he said, I spent my entire day doing math about the Padres and figuring out this Pac-12.
Trying to figure out the Pac-12.
So break it down for me.
So,
Ben, explain it to me.
So when the Pac-12 initially invited the four Mountain West teams, San Diego State, Fresno State, Colorado State, and Boise State, they left open the last couple of invitations. And the reason they didn't invite more Mountain West teams is that because the Mountain West had this deal with Washington State and Oregon State, it becomes increasingly more expensive for them to steal Mountain West teams. It was smart by the Mountain West. Like, hey, you're going to try to poach our teams. We're going to make you pay through the nose. So they said, let's do 4 for now, and we'll try to steal some AAC teams like Memphis or Tulane as the other two.
None of these football programs, though, really move the needle much.
Memphis has been pretty good in recent years. Tulane's okay. South Florida was when they were looking at UTSA. But yesterday, all four of those said, we're staying in the AAC. They probably got some extra money, and they're going to go, we're not going. So that left the new Pac-6 in a bit of a bind. They go, all right, we got to start stealing Mountain West teams again, because there's not really other football programs that are interesting other than those teams. I mean, New Mexico State, UTEP, it's pretty bottom of the barrel after the Mountain West. So they started sending out invitations. The Mountain West, meanwhile, has countered by offering all that money they're getting from the Pac-12 for the four defectors, and they started offering it to teams like UNLV and Air Force to stay. And yesterday, those two teams announced, yeah, we're staying. And then Utah State jumped, and they bit, and they said, no, we're going to the Pac-12. UNLV then all of a sudden said, oh, no, wait, we said we were staying, but now that Utah State's leaving, we're reopening our negotiations and options. So my guess is the Pac-12's trying to steal UNLV as that eighth team, and it's going to come down. Both conferences now have seven in 2 years.
Stalemate.
And they're both one short of an actual conference.
I mean, and again, it gets way more expensive for the Aztecs, yep, to jump. Right? Like,
yeah, I mean, the Aztecs, their price is set, but for every team for the Pac-12, it's getting really pricey to buy out these Mountain West teams.
You're basically paying to leave the Mountain West to join the Mountain West, is essentially what's
right.
happening.
And that's what's made it so hard. Plus
Washington State and Oregon State, which, better. Better.
Yeah, but still not like big media markets. Pullman and Corvallis.
And again, not a huge TV. It's not that. Networks aren't going to be going, oh my God, I'm salivating to get my hands on the new Pac-12.
But the networks do need programming.
They do.
And the new Mountain West without all those teams is not going to, get a lot of interest, because I don't really want to see New Mexico Air Force all the time. I'd rather see these new Pac-12 teams. So they should get more. The question is, how much more are they going to get? We still don't know what the final answer is going to be on that.
Crazy, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
How much say does, like, the NCAA have in this whole thing? Like, you're getting to this point where you can't figure out what you're going to do,
right,
this and that.
Almost
when do
none.
They,
almost
they
none.
Are just,
they
just
don't
whatever.
Have the authority. I mean, the schools and the conferences run everything
run
in football.
So,
the NCAA was the basketball tournament. Yeah, they can make their rules and they run that, but they don't run anything about college football, so they really can't do much.
Gotcha.
But the problem for the Aztecs is every time they think they're about to take a step up, they had that Big East deal.
Yeah, man.
Boom, exploded. They're about to join the Pac-12. Boom, it explodes when they all take off. Now they got this new Pac-12, and guess what? The AAC and the Mountain West are going not so fast, and this one could go boom as well. The Aztecs are like unlucky in love when it comes to the conferences. They just are
unlucky
snake,
in love.
Snake bit.
This is the one. I'm telling you, she's different. Oh, I know you've heard this before. You don't understand. She's so great. Sweetheart, I'm telling you, please be careful with your heart. Be careful.
They're going to be middle-aged bachelors pretty soon here if they're not careful.
On the Golden Bachelor, perhaps. Right. Oh, man.
We don't typically, this is sports related, and we don't typically talk a lot about like CrossFit and these marathon type workouts and running and triathlons and all that, but my God.
I could talk about triathlons all day.
CrossFit, man.
Just the training, all
the
of it.
The story here, this woman in South Carolina, a 25-year-old woman, was doing the Murph Challenge, which in CrossFit, that is 300 squats, or you run a mile, 300 squats, 200 push-ups, 100 pull-ups, and then you run another mile.
Take me 6 years.
That is the Murph Challenge.
I can't do a pull-up, so I'm done.
Well, you can do it with the big bands. They have, like, cheater bands.
Cheater bands.
Yeah, like, you wrap them around, you stick your foot in, and they're like,
helps pull you up.
The first time your trainer makes you do those.
Can I just get a hydraulic lift?
Pretty much, but the first time your trainer makes you do those in a gym full of people.
Well, when you hear this injury that this woman suffered, you're not going to even want to work out ever again.
Sprained her MCL.
She was
or
in great shape. No. She was not like just one of us rolling out to try to do the Murph Challenge.
Yeah.
She was in good shape. She works out frequently, but she hadn't done upper body in a while.
Yeah. Same.
She went so hard that essentially her biceps exploded. She was working out and said her arms were so sore and swollen the following day, she couldn't even straighten her arms. So she went to urgent care several days later when she began to lose feeling in her hands. They immediately sent her to the ER because she was suffering from, it's called rhabdo, which is short for rhabdomyolysis.
Next week's incorporator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rhabdo. And it's when your muscle fibers are so damaged that cells die, toxins get into your blood, it can cause liver damage, kidney failure, and even kill you. And the good news, she's going to be okay. Doctors said, you're fine. But basically, she worked out so hard, her bicep, the muscles exploded.
Human body's not meant to do that.
Yeah. Important lesson out there, don't exercise.
Don't exercise.
They saved her kidneys by cutting her arms open to reduce the swelling. It had swollen up so much, there was no room.
You know, we've talked before, like, oh man, this person jumped out of an airplane and the chute didn't open. This person got attacked by a shark and died. This person had rhabdo and died. Those are three things that I know. I may be hit by a bus today. Trash truck may get me. My wife may slit my throat. I have no idea. But I know a rhabdo is not killing me. I know I won't die from rhabdo. That's the more things
over-exercise.
Yeah, the more things you can cross off the list that won't kill you is a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, Ben's not going to, you're not going to overdose on heroin. Like, you know that. You can take that off.
I'm waiting for the coronary artery disease from eating too much Mexican
100%.
Food. That's how I'm going to go.
I've never even heard of rhabdo, but it sounds terrible.
Yeah, Christian in our chat says he's definitely heard of it. He must work out. He knows all about it. He goes, yeah, liver failure, kidney failure. It's so terrifying. And all you're doing, you're just working out. Maybe harder than you normally do, but nothing that you haven't done in the past.
Let's put it this way.
It's probably pretty common in the whole weightlifter.
In the CrossFit and weightlifter. Man. It was, we did my guy, I had a trainer, and he owned a CrossFit gym, but he trained me in different ideas, baseball mostly. Mm-hmm. And, but one day he goes, I want you to come on Wednesday. We're doing our lunge challenge. And I said, oh, well, that sounds terrible. I hate lunges. He said, no, I want you to try it. And it was basically, you lunge around the building for like 45 minutes, and you don't stop lunging. And you just lunge and lunge and lunge and lunge and lunge all on the concrete, just lunging around. And
my knees hurt.
It was literally like one of the worst days of my entire life. And I, you know, you get 10 minutes in, and you're like, I've got 30 minutes left or 40 minutes. It was horrible.
I can't even get off the toilet now without a grunt. Like, having to push yourself up.
You have to install one of those bars, to push you up. Mm.
Finally, a very bizarre scene in Massachusetts recently. North Attleboro, there was a rodeo happening, and 8 bulls busted through. They escaped. They busted through all the chain link fence and just started running around the neighborhood.
Like Pamplona, but in Massachusetts.
Yeah. I suppose.
Oh, my God. A bull. They escaped from the rodeo. They have rodeos in Massachusetts? I did not know.
Apparently.
That.
They got them everywhere now.
Jeez. They captured one of the bulls, and then the other 7 just kept running.
Wow.
And, like, people that were at the rodeo took video camera or video footage.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. There they go on our YouTube stream.
I mean, they are just barreling through anything in their way.
Is there audio of this in Massachusetts? Because that is something.
I'll provide it.
The bulls!
That's what else are you going to hear? There they go.
I want to hear the Boston people doing. Yeah, the Boston 25.
This could be San Diego in January. We've got the rodeo coming back to Petco Park.
They're running through the parking lot. They just jumped over the fence.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
My car's destroyed.
My car! Oh, that's great. Greatness. I did not know
Are the bulls okay? Did they get them all?
Yes. They did get them.
The Boston Bull Run.
Boston Bull.
That's another way I know I will not die. Pamplona. I will never be running with the bulls. There's nothing about it that excites me. You know you're going to catch a shoelace. You running from the bulls would be epic content.
Yeah, they ended up getting kind of stuck behind a fence. No way out. Police and caretakers were able to get in there and
shoot them with a dot.
I mean, I would think trampling is probably the biggest danger, but getting gored sounds horrible.
It's when they get you cornered against the bill, and they're just
they gored.
I don't want to be gored.
I never want to be gored either. Never.
Just
not even by Mrs. Woods, dude. I do not want to be. I don't want to be. Yeah, they pick you up and they whip you around. Yeah, maybe we don't mess with wild bulls. Yeah. Maybe.
I don't even want to be Mackenzie gored. Sorry. All right. Let's take time out with that. Thank you, Paulie.
It's not even a thing.
The grades are
in. It's never been a thing.
Feels like it's a little early for final grades, but they have them.
For what?
Baseball season.
ESPN. The season's not over.
I know, but they've already put in the final grades.
Who's they?
David Schoenfeld. The grades are in. Padres.
You haven't even taken the final.
You're not even
in the midterm. Well, you're past the midterms.
I mean, I think these should be revised at the end of the week, depending on what happens.
David's like, I need a story. I need a story bad. I'm going to throw this out there.
I'll give you the Padres final grade. See if you can guess it. When we come back with Ben and Woods after traffic and 97.3 The Fan. Final grade for the week left seems a little early. But I've got him here from ESPN.com, from David Schoenfeld. And the two teams got an A. A straight A, no minus, nothing there. Do you think one of them was the San Diego Padres? Get to that in a second. The segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. I opened it and I thought, oh, two A's. I was told there were two A's. I thought, oh, Padres could be one of those two A's this season. They were not. Who would you guess got the two A's? Woods?
Phillies?
No.
Yankees?
Nope. A-minus for the Phillies, B-plus for the Yankees.
The Orioles?
No, not even the Orioles. The only
Guardians.
Two
Brewers.
Brewers and Guardians. You both guessed it at the same time, one and the other. The Brewers got an A, and the Guardians got an A.
If you're giving the Brewers an A, and you're not giving the Padres, who cut $92 million dollars from their payroll.
I mean, the Padres have a better record than the Brewers. Brewers, though, did win the division title.
Yeah, where they play.
Yeah, not expected. Yeah.
They don't play against the Dodgers.
And the Guardians, kind of a similar story, winning a Central Division title.
We've said it a million times. You put the San Diego Padres in the Central Division, and we would have a much easier life.
Royals and Phillies both got A-minuses, and then the B-pluses were the Yankees, the Tigers, and the San Diego Padres. Okay. Got a B+.
I said B+.
And
I didn't get many B+'s in my academic career, so I would settle for that.
I thought they deserved at least an A-. They pointed out that for 100 games, this was a 500 team. They were 50-50 after 100 games. So it's hard to give a full A to a team that for the majority of the season was flat-out mediocre. Now, the second half, they've been A+. Absolutely.
100%.
A+, 100% the second half of the season. Average it all out, gets to a B+. But they said Padres appear ready for October with everything they've done. And you have to agree with that. But they weren't the full team they are now until after they acquired the bullpen pieces.
Yep.
And you're grading on mostly the whole season, except for this final week. I do think that if the Padres won out, won the division, you'd have to bump that up to an A. You'd have to bump that up to an A. If they can beat out the Dodgers, the billion-dollar spending Dodgers, while slashing payroll by $90 million and making this the year they finally get it done, how could that be anything less than an A?
No question. No question.
That would be my only caveat, that they're a little too early on some
would they
of these
give
grades.
The Dodgers grade?
Dodgers got a C.
Fair.
I think it's even a little generous. I guess they're, in first place, so it's hard to give them anything worse. But
they stacked a ton of wins.
Certainly can't give them anything better for a team that was expected to win, 115 games, and they are still trying to hold off, the Padres in the last week of the season.
This is fantastic. Our buddy Tommy just retweeted a piece. Kevin Acey just dropped a piece talking about Michael King and how he's arguably been the Padres' best starting pitcher in 20 years. A quote that he pulled from it. After Michael King's first start in his first season as a full-time starting pitcher, his new pitching coach had some feedback. You sucked today, Ruben Niebla told him. I'm really looking forward to reading the rest of this
piece. Not the best
piece.
Pitching coach in the business for nothing.
Michael King was like, whoa, all right. So this is how it's going to be. He's been awesome, man. Awesome human, awesome pitcher. Looking forward to watching him show up tonight.
Worked. It worked. Ruben has done wonders with so many guys.
Yep.
But, I read that piece last night, and it mentions the fact that you forget that Michael King had 9 career starts going into this year. And the shackles were only off at like the last 3 or 4 of them.
That's right.
With the Yankees. He had virtually no starting experience, and now he's going to make it through this whole season. He's 168 innings, and shackles are off going into the playoffs.
Yeah, buddy.
Pretty incredible story, actually.
Great story.
All right, we'll finish our show today. Chase Buttinger, Olympian, NBA player. What a story he is, from La Costa Canyon High School, Encinitas native. Going to join us, getting ready to come to San Diego for a big event. A little something different for us, but looking forward to it in our last segment next year with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. All right, something very unique is coming to San Diego this weekend. You've probably heard of the AVP, the Volleyball Tour Pros. They hit the beaches all over California and Florida during the year for tournaments. But the AVP League, it's kind of like Live Golf version. They're like teaming up with like different franchises and coming to arenas, including this weekend, Viejas Arena Woods, where on Friday they're going to truck in like tons of beach sand
yeah.
right onto the floor
yeah.
at Viejas Arena and create a beach volleyball court indoors. And then on Saturday and Sunday, they're going to have this AVP League competition. It's the week three event. And one of the competitors on the San Diego Smash happens to be Chase Buttinger. Now, Chase's story is pretty fascinating. You probably caught him during the Olympics. He was a star at La Costa Canyon High School, was a great volleyball player, but was also a huge basketball player. So went to Arizona, then got to the NBA, 7-year career. But when that was done, he goes, I want to go back to volleyball. Went back to volleyball, beach volleyball, became a USA Olympian, and he joins us right now here on 97.3 The Fan. Chase, it is great to have you on back in your hometown of San Diego. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
It's our pleasure. Well. It's our pleasure. And, you know, listen, some guys have these long playing careers in Major League Baseball, the NBA, then like Tom Brady. Now he's going on to broadcasting with a huge contract. And I'm like, you know what? Some guys really do have it all. But when did you realize after your NBA career was over, you're like, no, I can go be a pro at something else now?
I would say this was always the plan of mine, was to mess around with beach volleyball when my NBA career was done. Just knowing that beach volleyball players, you could play into your 40s and even sometimes longer, just because being in the sand is so much more beneficial for the body and doesn't break down as much as the hardwood does in basketball and
yeah.
those types of sports. So the plan was always to try it. Obviously, I didn't have expectations of when I switched over was to try to be an Olympian. It was mostly just to, you know, play for fun. But when I made the transition to beach volleyball, I kind of was like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, let's really just go all in and see how far this sport can take me.
So you play, you're pro for the last few seasons, and you qualify as one of the two USA Olympic beach volleyball teams. We saw the visuals, that court they set up right below the Eiffel Tower. What was
Unreal.
That? What was that experience like competing this summer in Paris for the red, white, and blue?
It was absolutely breathtaking, absolutely unbelievable. Probably one of the best venues probably ever for any Olympics. Just being right underneath the Eiffel Tower, it was even better in person. I think just walking out and being, you know, there live. And seeing how close the Eiffel Tower really is to you with a full stadium of people was just absolutely remarkable. And pictures don't even do it justice. I think everyone would kind of say that when you were there in person, you really just felt the energy and the excitement and just how iconic everything was.
Talking to Chase Buttinger here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I went there for my honeymoon, and it's just one of the most stunning cities ever. Now, it's different. You know, when you're an Olympian, they put you in a certain place. We all saw the stories coming out about the beds and the conditions. How, you know, you were there. Like, you tell us exactly, yeah. like, was it as bad as they said? Was it better than you expected? Did you go into it thinking, oh, man, I'm hearing these stories, too, and I hope it's better than they say?
I was obviously hoping that it was better than what they said, and it definitely was. I had no problems with the beds and the village and everything. I think USA did a great job of providing extra pillows and mattress toppers and things to make us feel as comfortable as possible so we could focus on competing and not worry about anything else. So definitely a lot of kudos to USA for definitely helping us out.
Now, you couldn't call up like one of your old pals on the USA basketball team, like LeBron, and go, hey, you got room for us at your swanky place that you guys are staying?
Did they get to stay in a swanky place, too?
They stayed somewhere different, didn't they?
Yeah, they stayed at a hotel instead of the village. And to be honest, like, they needed to.
It would have been too crazy.
When they came to the village, they just get hounded by people. And even other Olympians are always coming up asking for pictures and autographs. And you know, they had a task at hand was to get a gold medal. So they had to really focus on that and not get hounded too much.
It's talking to Chase Buttinger. So, you know, volleyball, beach volleyball is all about, you know, dealing with the beach. And you're usually it's kind of windy on the ocean.
Yeah.
Bringing it indoors to an arena like Viejas Arena. How is that different? What has that been like as they started this new AVP league?
Yeah, it's been really exciting and really cool and completely different than what we're used to. But, you know, making it more of a event that you could come to and watch, and it's really fast and exciting and quick, and having it indoors just creates, you know, a different perspective of beach volleyball where, you know, you get to play indoors, you get to see a crowd, you get the big stands. It's just one court and not having to, you know, try to watch four or five courts all at once. And, you know, it's really exciting what the AVP is doing. You know, we're also paired up with a girls team as well. So you get that team dynamic that in beach volleyball we've never really had.
Go to AVP.com for tickets. They start at $12. Again, it's this weekend. Woods?
Yeah, I just got a text, Chase, from a guy you played against. His name's John Hoover. And he said, I got a question for Chase. Ask him if he remembers making my face a smash burger in high school volleyball. And I said, well, he probably did that to a lot of guys, Hoove. You're probably not that special, but he remembers you very well.
Well, I'm sorry I did that to him back in the day.
got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you know, I think those plays happen, and I'm glad that he was able to stand there and take it.
Pretty satisfying feel. Like, all right, what's more satisfying? Doing that, turning my buddy's face into a smash burger, or like huge dunk. Breakaway yeah. dunk? It's got to feel pretty great.
I would say dunking on someone is probably the most satisfying something.
Can't relate.
A fast break dunk is whatever, that happens all the time. But being able to like challenge someone at the rim while they're trying to contest you, and you are able to just absolutely smash it on them.
I do it to my.
That's the best feeling.
Yeah, I do it to my 6-year old on the 6-foot goal, yeah. And it's maybe the. You're right. It's maybe the greatest feeling that there is known to man. Hitting a golf ball really far is a good one, but dunking on your 6-year old over him, I know what you feel like, and I can certainly relate, and it's pretty good.
Before you go, Chase, obviously.
Just be careful because that 6-year old's going to grow.
He's
going
to grow. Oh, I know. Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Before you go, obviously the Olympics, you know, pinnacle, unbelievable beach volleyball achievement. What's your most memorable basketball NBA moment?
My one moment that I always describe was, I think, my first time playing against Kobe Bryant. And he was kind of my idol growing up. He was basically the only one that I was really starstruck with. So we were playing in L.A., and I remember checking into the game. I actually had to guard him because Shane Battier got in foul trouble. And, you know, he kind of taps me on the butt and welcomes me to the NBA. Goes like, hey man, like, welcome to the NBA. Like, you know, you made it. Nice work. You know, job's not done. Like, keep getting better, blah, blah, blah. And then the very next play, they come down and run a play for him. And he gets the ball on the post and he does his little move, but he gives me this elbow straight to my sternum so hard, kind of like knocks the wind out of me, and then turns around and hits his fadeaway jumper against me.
And they call him for a foul, right? No?
No foul.
Yeah. And then as we're running back down on the other side, he taps me on the butt again and says, Welcome to the league, John.
Damn.
You loved it, man. You wear it with pride for sure when that happens.
That is awesome. Well, Chase, good luck this weekend. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us. Again, you can see him out of Viejas Arena for the AVP League Saturday really and Sunday. Fun. Thanks, man.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Chase Bunninger, U.S. Olympian and former NBA player and former high school classmate of Hannah and Graham Nancaro.
Do we, Adam, if you're listening, how did that go? If you want to come in and drop a grade on us, David Schoenfield's given his grades for Major League Baseball. I'll be happy to get your feedback either now in the middle of the show or maybe after the show would be good.
Adam,
for you.
You can put your thoughts together while we check traffic, and then we'll come back and wrap things up here on 97.3 The Fan. Cash the Ticket is the podcast to help you bet smarter. Host Mike Valenti and Jim Costa set the stage for a weekend of football with tips and tricks to help you bet confidently with a healthy dose of ball busting as well. It's just written there. Follow Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
You hated
saying
that, didn't you?
I did, yeah. That's just a little beneath me, I think. By the way, not to steal any of Annie and Elston's thunder, they're coming up next. But if you want to check me out, live or later, I'm going to be on Foul Territory talking Padres baseball at 10:45 this morning with A.J. Pruszynski and his crew. So you can always check that out as well, coming up after the show today. Problems?
You're right, Butch.
Failed to mention that at any point.
That just happened like in the last hour. They just texted me and asked if they wanted to talk some Padres baseball.
How'd you set it up again?
They texted me.
No. If you
want to check me out on talking Padres baseball.
You, AJ Pierzynski.
Kip and Scott.
Oh, all right.
God, I wish my name was Kip.
Kip.
Such an awesome name.
Patrick, if we want to check you out, Patrick has promised us something pretty cool. Our buddy Patrick Daly is our guest host for the day. Won the prize at the Benin Woods Open. And you're an off-road guy, big desert guy, which I've told you many times. I do feel like I might have been put on this earth to be in the desert. I really, really love the desert. Live by the beach, but the desert calls to me. Every time I go to the desert, it makes me very, very happy. But I've never done like the off-road stuff in the desert. Part of me is afraid if I go once, I know how I am. I'll be like, hey, babe, I just bought an ATV and a big trailer to hit to drive. I'm going out to Borrego for the weekend. I fear that I may get hooked. And you say that's a very real possibility. But you've promised to take us out as a show.
I do.
And drive us around.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been racing off-road now for almost 20 years now. So I've made a lot of friends. I've raced all kinds of different trucks and everything. But there is a pinnacle, and that pinnacle of off-road racing is called the trophy truck. You're talking about 1,000 horsepower, all-wheel drive.
1,000.
3 feet of travel. Imagine 3 feet of travel. I mean, that's 3 feet. You know, the shocks are going up. I mean, you're looking at these things doing 100 miles an hour over, you know, they call them whoops, 4 foot whoops. And I mean, if you've ever seen it before, it's amazing. So I've been in your world for a few hours.
Yeah.
I want to take you out to my world. I'm going to get you guys in a top of the line, brand, you know, the newest trophy truck, and give you guys a ride. I think it will blow you away.
We're just riding. I don't have to drive.
Have to drive.
Okay,
just
good.
Probably not allowed to drive.
If I drive, I promise you, I'd be going. Whoops.
Yeah.
Just up and down on the seat.
Sorry about crashing your 1,000 horsepower off road vehicle, Patrick.
So San Diego's got a lot of great race teams. You know, this is probably one of the biggest areas of off-road race teams. I don't know if you've McMillan Realty. Mm-hmm. Their whole family's been racing, and I've known the McMillans for a long time now, and I know I can get this set up, and I just want to, I want to get you guys out there, and I think you guys it will open your eyes to, you know, that we can, you know, go out and do this for 1,000 miles at a time.
It's
pretty amazing.
Man. How does one live up to my standards when you go out to the desert?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, camping is not
really.
Well,
you go out for the day. It's a day trip.
You day trip and you come back. You don't have to spend the night.
No, you don't have to spend the night. I don't make you stay out in the desert, Ben. Ben's just terrified.
Just want to make sure.
We'll do a day trip.
In his Dukes of Hazzard sleeping bag.
We'll take you out. It's called Placer City. It's right when you drop down the hill there off of the 8, hour and a half from here.
I always see the sign. You cut off to the left. And we're driving out to spring training.
Placer City. There's a plant right there, and that's kind of
where we get all of our plaster.
That's it. That's where all the big testing area is for all the San Diego-based teams. So,
okay.
It's a blast. I mean, I've been, you know, just going to the desert forever, and yeah, it's just it's a whole new world, and
I got to get a GoPro on the big guy over here. We'll do the whole thing.
I'll bring out my UTV too, and let you guys go tool around in that thing, and just those Polaris machines, just what they were 10 years ago to now, it's incredible.
What's a good Polaris run?
You can get, I mean, $20,000.
I'm going to go get one today.
So, I mean, and it's the thing. You walk in the dealer, you can finance it.
Yeah.
It's $200 a month, and you've got this awesome off-road toy.
Oh,
and
boy.
Polaris.
Simply the best.
Simply the best.
You can get a discount on that.
Dude.
Patrick, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Supporting our program. Would you like to have the honor of kissing the rally roach to start the last week of the season here against the Dodgers?
No, he's all right.
It's been dropped many
times.
Doesn't seem to affect
the floor. Don't worry.
The vibes.
And our mouths.
This is it. This is the year, guys.
This is one.
I've been a Padre fan for a long time, and I haven't felt this. This is it. And I'm feeling it, and here we go.
All right, here we go.
Let's do this.
Pass it around. Kiss the rally roach.
Oh, Rocho.
My turn.
He fakes it, I think. I don't think Ben actually kisses it.
I kiss it. No, I really
think he
do.
Puts his thumb in front of
well,
it.
Well, it's been working, so I'm going to keep doing whatever I'm doing.
Okay.
You'll never know.
You'll never know for sure.
We will never, ever know. You guys excited for tonight? Yes. Is excited the right word?
Yeah, I know. Nervous.
Nervous.
Just nervous.
You know, so when we called Jesse Agler, I talked to him off the air, and he goes, what's the vibe in there? How are you guys feeling? I'm like, I said anxious, and I said, you know what? It's really not even anxious. It's just eager.
I'm fired up.
No game last night didn't help.
Killed us.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go. I'm so fired up.
You know, tonight, I'm not getting my hopes up too high in terms of, because even if you win tonight, you still got to win tomorrow and the next day. If they win, then tomorrow, Thursday, I'm going to be a wreck.
We may have to drink on the air on Wednesday, like just to calm our nerves. Maybe that's a good day for
the weekend, which may be even worse.
That could be the Ben Woods Edible Show, which is something we've been promising for a long time.
It's just going to be every time they win, it's just going to get
worse and worse
this week.
It's terrible, man.
Starting with today. So that's what we have to look forward to, Padres fans.
Terrible and great.
You've been wanting this forever.
Yeah, you wanted it.
They've been winning. Now you know if they win, your stress level only goes up and up. From this point all the way to the end, it just gets worse.
Woo!
That's baseball fandom for you.
Love it.
Love it. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's it for us today. Special thanks again to co-host for the day, Patrick Daly. For Paul Reindel, our executive producer and imaging director, and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Annie and Elston are coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody.